Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne Zupko. I'm happy that everyone is here, either right now or listening in the future. And thank you for being here. We had to skip a week because of Hurricane Sandy, and so I'm very happy to be back up and running. And I will just say, too, that if we're in the middle of a snowstorm now, so if my line suddenly cuts out, I will call right back in on my cell phone. We've had some flickering lights, so hopefully that won't be a problem, though. So let's just start with a few moments coming into silence together. So just finding a comfortable position, allowing your eyes to close. And just turning within to the love and the light inside. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, still mind, these are the gifts we will receive, and we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. With the love in your heart and the light in your mind, coming together to our perception of this time and place. All right, so we are reading in the Sparkle Edition on page 67, the first full paragraph at the top. If you have the original edition, we are on page 57. Yes. Sorry, 57. It's paragraph 8, so it's actually towards the bottom of the page on page 57, or Sparkle page 67 at the top. So we're picking up here mid, actually still in the beginning of this section on right teaching and right learning, and we just read before that a few things about the authority problem, which just as a refresher is the problem that we wanted to create ourselves and not be as God created us, not letting God be the author. We instead want to self-create. It talks about that. It talks about how our mind is split between the ego and the soul. And then it goes on to just talk about teaching and how a good teacher strengthens ideas by teaching them. And the last point that it makes, which then ties into where we're picking up, is that change is always fearful to the separated ones, which is us, because we can't conceive of change as a step towards healing the separation. The Course teaches that change, you know, when we chose to enter into the separation, suddenly there was change where there never was before. So it's something that we have a hard time dealing with because we think it's going to lead to further change rather than to healing. And here is where we pick up. So again, top of page 67 in the Sparkle, bottom of page 57 in the original edition. So I'll read a paragraph or two and pause, and then if anybody has anything to add, we'll take it as we go. You believe that if you allow no change to enter into your ego, your soul will find peace. This profound confusion is possible only if one maintains that the same thought system can stand on two foundations. Nothing can reach the soul from the ego, and nothing from the soul can strengthen the ego or reduce the conflict within it. The ego is a contradiction. Man's self and God's self are in opposition. I'm sorry, I just lost my spot because I heard an echo. I think somebody, did somebody just join us?
Yes, it's Deidre.
Hi, Deidre. Welcome. We're glad you're here.
Hi.
We just started reading on the Sparkle. We're on page 67 at the top, or the original edition, page 57 at the bottom.
67 in the Sparkle?
Yes, 67 in the Sparkle. I'm in the first full paragraph.
Thank
about
you.
Midway. No problem. Okay, I'm just going to start again with the ego is a contradiction. It's about midway through the paragraph. The ego is a contradiction. Man's self and God's self are in opposition. They are opposed in creation, in will, and in outcome. They are fundamentally irreconcilable because the soul cannot perceive and the ego cannot know. They are therefore not in communication and can never be in communication. Nevertheless, the ego can learn because its maker can be misguided, but cannot make the totally lifeless out of the life given. The soul need not be taught, but the ego must. So what this is saying, when it refers to man's self, that is our ego. The Course says how there's no area of our perception that the ego has not touched. So we might think at times that we're out of our ego, but even just, you know, being in this sort of world of separation, our egos are still there because we believe that our ego is us. We're confused about that. And so it's saying that it's when it says that they're in opposition, all that means is that, again, the ego wants to be separate and wants to be unlike God created us. And it's not that God is in opposition with us. You know, nothing, there's no, this is where the Course talks about, again, this sort of hidden fear or these unconscious fears and guilt, feelings of guilt that we carry for thinking that God is angry at us for turning our back or for separating, when that's actually not the case at all. So this is saying that the ego and truth, or the ego and spirit, are fundamentally irreconcilable because our soul is in that realm of knowledge. We talked before about the difference between perception and knowledge, and our souls, our self and truth is in that realm of knowledge, and what this realm is here is perception. So it says that the soul cannot perceive and the ego cannot know. Therefore, they're not in communication. But again, the Holy Spirit is our communication link back to our higher minds, to the part of ourselves that we really truly are, and that hasn't lost communication with spirit, hasn't gotten confused about its identity. So any questions or comments with that paragraph so far?
This is Sonia. I'm just reading the top part again.
The first sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this is a good one, especially in light of everything that just occurred with Hurricane Sandy. So you believe that if you allow no change to enter into your ego, your soul will find peace.
Mm-hmm.
That sentence for me, you know, the Course is saying that let me back up for a second. I'm actually thinking of even like Buddhist psychology, and mindfulness meditation is something that I'm very much into. And one of the teachings is that we have a hard time with change. We want to hang on to what's good, you know, keep away what's bad. We have this tendency to want to make impermanent things permanent. And this is very much in line with what that idea is, that it's saying that if we think that if we can just, you know, find a place of peace and just stay there and not let anything change, that we'll then be able to find peace. But the Course is saying that, you know, first of all, we can't find that peace outside of ourselves. And change is part of this world. You know, change is, because this world was made to be separate from God, to be different from God, if God is changeless, this world is full of change. So we have to change and grow in order to remember that we are changeless in a way.
I think when you started reading that line, I think what came to me is that the issue where I started recommitting myself to the Course, that I was looking to control my external world and hoping by controlling it and keeping it a certain way, I would find peace. If things would just be a certain way, I would feel more peaceful. But
right.
I was putting my direction in the wrong place. I was looking externally instead of internally.
Right.
And then,
that's perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's something that we, I think even doing the course for a long time, we still do that where, I mean, I just, this week was a huge learning opportunity for me because, you know, I even had, one of the things that I wrote about in a blog post today was that, you know, I had this, any challenge that comes forth for us in our lives is an opportunity to look at a hidden belief that we are holding on to. And the Course is asking us to withhold nothing, you know, to look at everything that's coming up with the Holy Spirit. And what I learned, you know, the area that I live in, the shore area, was just absolutely destroyed. And it was very upsetting and very hard to see. And it was this sense of, you know, this belief that I recognized that I had that if I'm on a spiritual path, well, then everything's going to smooth out and be easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there suddenly, you know, I mean, again, we were fortunate. Like, we were not directly impacted in terms of losing anything, but just like we were talking about before we started recording the call, like, you don't have to have been directly affected to be affected by what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So this belief that I realized that I was holding that, like, you know, if I'm on a spiritual path, my world is not going to be turned upside down. Well, the recognition was that, wait a second, if I think I'm in this world is always capable of being turned upside down. And so it was kind of this coming back to the idea of how the Course teaches this world is not our home. That the world isn't our home, that we are, that truth, that home is what we find inside of us, and that it's not out there, and that even if the picture that our body's eyes show us is, you know, chaotic and just destroyed by a hurricane, it's still about having that willingness to turn to the Holy Spirit to have that different vision come through us. So I'm so glad you brought that up. That's a big, I think, really important sentence and learning for us in so many ways.
Well, good. I'm glad that you had something come up for you, because I know for me, what made me recommit myself to the Course was that I was just totally out of balance and I was looking in the wrong place, and it just really had like a profound effect on me. And I was I had totally lost that what used to be so important to me was going within, and then I was just so focused on the out because I had responsibilities that
right
you know, I became to resent my responsibilities.
Right. Yeah.
Because I couldn't control them, because they were conflicting with the thing that I thought was the way I was trying to achieve my peace, and I was becoming angry.
Right, perfect. Well said. All right, let's tackle the next paragraph. The ultimate reason why learning is perceived as frightening is because learning does lead to the relinquishment, not destruction, of the ego to the light of the soul. This is the change the ego must fear, because it does not share my charity. My lesson was like yours, and because I learned it, I can teach it. I never attack your egos, but I do try to teach you how their thought system arose. When I remind you of your true creation, your egos cannot but respond with fear. So this, to me, is a really important paragraph, because it touches on what I think we all go through with resistance. And again, I think this is another good topic that we started talking about before we started recording the call, in that our egos will kick up sometimes when we're doing pretty good inner work and are turning to, you know, our inner guide within. This is saying the ego does get fearful because it's afraid that we're going to see that the ego is nothing, and it depends, its existence only depends on our belief in it. And as we have those experiences that teach us that it is nothing, you know, we withdraw our belief from it, and then it's sufficiently weakened and perhaps sometimes not happy about that. So So that's what this paragraph is speaking to for me. But it is an important point to remember that the first sentence, how it says, the ultimate reason why learning is perceived as frightening is because learning does lead to the relinquishment, not destruction of the ego, to the light of the soul. So it's something that we voluntarily choose to relinquish. It's not taken away from us. It's not destroyed. It's not, you know, we're not hurled into reality. It's nothing like that. It's a very, very gentle process that occurs only as we're ready. And it's our choice to relinquish the ego or to hang on to it.
The moment by moment choice.
Yes. Oh, yes. You're so right. Mm-hmm. You are so right. It is moment to moment. It's not even day to day.
Yeah, it is moment to moment. And it's just hard because sometimes I'll have two thoughts where I'm like trying to connect with the Holy Spirit and like try to relinquish my thinking. And then I'll have like 10 thoughts that are just like, you know, something that I can't say on the call. So
and that reminds me too of how the Course says that it's not that we're going to stop having those bad thoughts, it's just that we have none that we would keep. So
when
those icky thoughts come up, it's like, all right, Holy Spirit, you know, willing to look at this with you now, willing to hand this over. So it's not that we're not going to have them, it's that we just are willing to not keep them. Beautiful. So, okay, the next paragraph. Teaching and learning are your greatest strengths now because you must change your mind and help others change theirs. It is pointless to refuse to tolerate change because you believe you can demonstrate that by doing so, the separation has not occurred. The dreamer who doubts the reality of his dream while he is still dreaming is not really healing the level split. You have dreamed of a separated ego, and you have believed in a world which rests upon it. This is very real to you. You cannot undo this by doing nothing and not changing. So for this paragraph, this is saying again that on some level we think that if we refuse change, we can somehow prove that we haven't separated from our source. And the sentence, the dreamer who doubts the reality of his dream while he is still dreaming is not really healing the split level, or the level split, excuse me. That to me speaks to how I think that we all fall into this at some point in time or time and time again of intellectually getting the course and understanding the concepts. The best example, I think, is, for instance, with something like, you know, a hurricane and seeing all the destruction, a well-intentioned Course student might say, oh, well, it's just not real, you know, it's just not real, but guess what? Put that person in a situation where their house is being torn apart and they're going to realize that, oh, yeah, we believe that this is real. So we can't just intellectually say, oh, it's not real, and just dismiss it. The Course is saying, just to take that willingness to see it differently, to see that it's not real, to the Holy Spirit, because then we get back that experience when we're ready that teaches that it's so. So that's what that sentence is speaking to me, that we can't really heal this separation by just intellectually doing the course. We actually have to do it. So, yeah, that's pretty much what the rest of the paragraph says to me as well. So any thoughts or comments about that? All right, I'll keep reading. If you are willing to renounce the role of guardian of your thought system and open it to me, I will correct it very gently and lead you home. Every good teacher hopes to give his students so much of his own thinking that they will one day no longer need him. This is the one real goal of the parent, teacher, and therapist. This goal will not be achieved by those who believe that they will lose their child or pupil or patient if they succeed. Excuse me. It is impossible to convince the ego of this because it goes against all of its own laws. But remember that laws are set up to protect the continuity of the system in which the lawmaker believes. I I really like this paragraph because of that sentence. Every good teacher hopes to give his students so much of his own thinking that they one day no longer need him. This is the real goal of the parent, teacher, and therapist. I used to always say that because I have a background in counseling, that my goal is to put myself out of business. So, you know, mm-hmm. Clients don't need to come anymore. But if people believe that they're going to lose something, they're going to lose their child or their client or their student, you know, if they think they're going to lose something, they're not going to be able to have that other perspective. So,
mm-hmm. Well, that kind of goes to what we were saying before you started recording about, you know, that moment, that time I was struggling when I first had my daughter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I didn't really proceed with, like, studying the course as I normally, not normally, going back into it, even though I had the urge, because I was afraid I would, you know, somehow lose something.
Right, right. That makes sense. Lose whatever, fill in the blank, your time,
yeah.
I'm just thinking now more of what you were sharing before. And,
mm-hmm.
yeah, with those fears of wanting to be that good parent and afraid, you know, if you are doing the course that you're not.
I'd have to give something up.
Right, right, exactly. Exactly.
Even though it was indefinable what that something would be.
Right, right. All right. So I'll keep going here since this next paragraph ties right into this. I'm sorry, I just thought I lost my place for a moment. It is natural enough for the ego to try to protect itself once you have made it, but it is not natural for you to want to obey its laws unless you believe in them. The ego cannot make this choice because of the nature of its origin. You can because of the nature of yours. Egos can clash in any situation, but souls cannot clash at all. If you perceive a teacher as merely a larger ego, you will be afraid, because to enlarge an ego is to increase separation anxiety. I will teach with you and live with you if you will think with me, but my goal will always be to absolve you finally from the need for a teacher. I'm just going to keep reading this next paragraph. This is the opposite of the ego-oriented teacher's goal. He is concerned with the efforts of his ego on other egos and therefore interprets their interaction as a means of ego preservation. I would not be able to devote myself to teaching if I believe this, and you will not be a devoted teacher as long as you maintain it. I am constantly being perceived as a teacher either to be exalted or rejected, but I do not accept either perception for myself. So again, these two paragraphs are really just speaking to, again, that overall goal of our what we're doing with the course is ultimately opening up our minds so much that we are in direct communication with the Holy Spirit, and when the separation is healed, you know, we all just are. But it's saying too, again, this idea of absolving us finally from the need for a teacher is opposite of the ego-oriented teacher's goal. Ego-oriented teachers want to keep their students because of ego needs or whatever. So mm-hmm. that's what that is saying there. Any questions or comments about that so far? Interpretations?
I just want to say, this is Angela. I just wanted to say hello to you guys. That was
Angela.
Late.
Hi, Angela.
Hi.
Welcome. Are you following along? Do you know where we are?
Yeah, I know where you are. I just started turning the pages, and I'm like on the iPad. So I'm doing okay. But
okay,
it's
good.
It's like it's not sticking. The past couple days, it's not sticking, but that's okay. You know, I think there's certainly been a lot going on, and so just I did catch you where you guys were talking about, take it moment by moment.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's where, you know, if we get caught up in, oh, I'm not doing it right, or, you know, that's the ego just beating ourselves up again. You know, it is. It really, Sonia hit it on hit the nail on the head with saying that it really is a moment-to-moment thing. So.
And it's really interesting that you said that about not doing it right, because somehow I felt that over the last few days, even though I've just recently recommitted myself and I've been reading for like about 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, and, you know, trying to find like resources that I could like, you know, have a community to share it with. But I was like, these like some days I'll be like, God, am I not doing this right?
Uh-huh.
You know, just, yeah.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. I've shared the story before that there were times when, you know, I'd be going through a difficult situation, and I was always an A student in school, so mm-hmm. I'd like to get A's, and I'd be like, I'm failing the course, and my mom
stepped
out would be like, you're not failing the course, you're doing the course, and so that ego, I tell you.
I know, and like you said, it's everywhere. There's no part of your whatever that's untouched. It's just part of everything.
Yep, yep. That's
you know,
right.
Corinne.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yes, Deidre.
Oh, I just wanted to clarify. When it's talking about the teacher not willing to lose the student, I'm not sure I understand that.
it's basically what the course, what it's saying here is that it summed it up on the bottom of page 67, where it said, every good teacher hopes to give his students so much of his own thinking that they will one day no longer need him. If that's not a goal that we'll be able to get to if we think we're going to lose our, you know, student, if that student succeeds. So if we're afraid of, you know, losing students, that's just our ego sort of getting in there thinking that, you know, it's got to hang on to something versus this different perspective of giving.
So what it means is basically.
Oh, I think you
caught from.
Could you repeat that again?
Is it talking about detachment then? Like the teacher being.
That's a good question. So is it talking about being detached? I would say so. Like detached in a way that, the way that I now work with that idea of being detached from the outcome is I give the outcome that I think I want to the Holy Spirit. So if I recognize that, like, you know, I'm afraid of losing something, or it's like, okay, Holy Spirit, here's this. Here, I'm attached to the outcome again. Here you go. So I would say yes. I think we're saying the same thing. The word detachment is one way, absolutely one way of putting it.
Okay.
Yeah, yep, you're detached from the outcome. Does that clarify?
Yeah, I just think the way that it was worded, I wasn't exactly sure what they meant by lose, but.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I think the way that you put it with just being detached is the simplest way of saying it. And did I hear, Angela, were you going to say something?
No, I do. I forgot what I was going to say. I was going to say this, maybe the next sentence that it kind of ties into what we're talking about.
Yes, yes. So that next sentence I just absolutely love, and I'll just start reading that paragraph. Your worth is not established by your teaching or learning. Your worth was established by God. As long as you dispute this, everything you do will be fearful, particularly any situation which lends itself to the superiority-inferiority fallacy. Teachers must be patient and repeat their lessons until they are learned. I am willing to do this because I have no right to set your learning limits for you. Once again, nothing you do or think or wish or make is necessary to establish your worth. This point is not debatable except in delusions. Your ego is never at stake because God did not create it. Your soul is never at stake because He did. Any confusion on this point is a delusion, and no form of devotion is possible as long as this delusion lasts. So So that
ding,
for
ding,
me,
ding, ding, ding.
Right? It's like, that's like the ultimate statement for self-esteem. Like, that's
mm-hmm.
just
wow.
amazingly beautiful and amazingly powerful for me, that nothing you think, nothing you do or think or wish or make is necessary to establish your worth. Bing, bing, bing. I love that answer.
Yeah.
Mm.
So the bells go off.
Definitely. And you know something, I can talk to that because if I talk in terms of this human body and talk about my experience of, you know, I'm referring to the body and I'm referring to what I think is me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that this has been an issue. I've been looking at it and seeing it everywhere. And I'm getting tired, but still, I still think I have more fight. That scares me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it is because it continues, I'm not enough, I'm not doing enough, I say, you know. And even on the days where I feel like you have the low days, you maybe not every day is a high-functioning day. I think about those days. And this is like... I take it from person to person to person to person. I'm just being totally honest because the truth of the matter is something's got to change. You know, I know what to do. You'd say take it to the Holy Spirit. But take it to the Holy Spirit, you know, like, you know, I was thinking of one of the meditations you had, Corinne, the Take Five meditation. And it talks about the breathing, and it talks about that you know, to focus on your breathing, and if you have to 100 times, you know, just keep focusing on your breathing, just focusing on your breathing. It's kind of like it's totally turning the whole focus, if I can get it clear, taking the focus off of what I think. You know, it's like a form of mind training in that respect. You know?
Definitely. And, you know, one of the things that you're making me think of is that with this, with, you know, taking something to the Holy Spirit and taking it, eventually we have to trust that it's there, that, like, the Holy Spirit's got it, you know, it is done. Like, the miracle, even though we might not be able to see it right now or, you know, the circumstances haven't changed. It's almost like it's another step after taking it to the Holy Spirit is saying to ourselves, okay, it's done. And what you're just saying with, you know, with mindfulness and with just coming back to your breath, it is, like you just said, mind training, where, like, it's almost, that's something that can be useful to help ourselves from not picking up the problem again. Like, once we hand it over, genuinely, it's there. Like, the Holy Spirit's got it, and the answer is already there, even though we might not be able to see it yet. And so it also comes in where, like, it's another step to just say, all right, it is done. I handed it over, and I'm just trusting now that, you know, that everything is exactly how it should be. And so that's where practicing something like mindfulness can really help, because I think our tendency is just to, you know, mull on things over and over and harp on them. I mean, I know that's what I do. So,
and you know what, that harping on it and harping on it is just another form of keeping the ego alive.
Absolutely. You got it. Yep. Yep. That's perfect.
So thank you.
Yeah. It's like the ego being like a chatterbox. So we'll keep looking to it rather than to that quiet place within. If it keeps going, and, you know, picking it up and saying, oh, well, I'm still not sure about this, whatever. You're absolutely right. That's just the ego keeping itself going. Boy.
So I want to really make that point, because I feel as though I want to make a commitment to keep working on that, because otherwise that particular issue is just something that will get in the way and I'll go nowhere. I absolutely
mm-hmm.
will go nowhere. Although you would say no, it's not as though you won't go nowhere, because, you know, as you put it, and as I remember Joseph put it, and Joseph, when we were in the different Course in Miracles, he said, you know, I'd say, how are you doing? And I was like, I don't know. I don't think I'm doing so good. And he said the same thing. You know what? You're exactly where you need to be. for your learning.
Yep, yep. That's
so,
right.
You know, no, put the bat away, right?
Right, right.
Thank
we
you.
Are
I hate
exactly
to belabor it, but I really just need to get that out.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for sharing.
No, I think that's a very good point. This is Sonia again. I think that's because I'm kind of like Corinne in that I've always been like the person who kind of got things quickly. And then it's like the fact that you have to be moment to moment, and you just kind of get like, gosh, am I doing this right? And you have so much, you know, criticism of yourself because you feel like I should like, because the ego of me comes into play. Oh, you should be getting this by now. This shouldn't be
right.
So hard, you know. But it's like completely ridiculous because I was telling someone the other day. I said I realize, and I'm being very generous with myself, 99% of my thoughts are based in fear. So how quickly is this going to really all, you know, transform?
Right, right. That's just, well, that's so right. Like 99% of our thoughts are. that's so accurate. Our egos are so good at that. That's all it does.
Yeah, and then if you don't catch it right away, I mean, it's just like, it's so mind-boggling. You're just like, you don't, the ego doesn't want you to get ahead, but then when you're not doing things that you're trying to do, it's like, oh, well, why aren't you doing it better? Like, what?
Right,
it's
right.
Just like, it's very insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's a no-win situation.
It is, it is. I was watching a video online on YouTube, and one of the course teachers said the ego's motto is a seek and never find.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It sure is. That I don't know what chapter that's in, but that is perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is perfect. That's what it does. All right. Let's tackle another paragraph. Okay. So the very bottom of page 68. The ego tries to exploit all situations into forms of praise for itself in order to overcome its doubts. It will be doubtful forever, or rather as long as you believe in it. You who made it cannot trust it because you know it is not real. The only sane solution is not to try to change reality, which is indeed a fearful attempt, but to see it as it is. You are part of reality, which stands unchanged beyond the reach of your ego, but within easy reach of your soul. When you are afraid, be still and know that God is real and you are his beloved son in whom he is well pleased. Do not let your ego dispute this, because the ego cannot know what is as far beyond its reach as you are. So that to me is just another beautiful paragraph that when I just, that line jumps out to me, that when you are afraid, be still and know that God is real and you are his beloved son in whom he is well pleased. It also reminds me too of what we're just talking about with mind training, that the Course says that we're much too tolerant of mind wandering, and we are mm-hmm. passively condoning our mind's miscreations all the time, and that's that 99%,
mm-hmm.
you know, of that time
yep.
that we're spent
mm-hmm.
in fear. So it's that be still, to take it in that moment and just drop into that knowing that that all is well. So
yeah, it's so funny. I read that today, this morning, when I was doing my reading, and that just really struck me. You know, you let your mind do so much, and you're okay with it, even though
mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
like leading you down the wrong road.
Right.
And the road
imagine
of fear,
what
should
we'll,
I say.
Yeah, yeah. And imagine too, like with how much, I guess, I don't know if it's lack of effort, but that passive condoning of our mind's miscreations,
mm-hmm.
like our minds are so busy all the time miscreating. Imagine just what we can do when we do start to, you know, really learn how to, just like you said before, moment to moment. I guess I'm trying to say, imagine what it's like when moment to moment, you know, we're constantly just taking things to the Holy Spirit and working the Course all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The Course says
mm-hmm.
we can move mountains. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool. All right, I'll go ahead with another paragraph. God is not the author of fear. You are. You have chosen, therefore, to create unlike him, and you have made fear for yourselves. You are not at peace because you are not fulfilling your function. God gave you a very lofty responsibility which you are not meeting. You know this, and you are afraid. In fact, your egos have chosen to be afraid instead of meeting it. When you awaken, you will not be able to understand this because it is literally incredible. Do not believe the incredible now. Any attempt to increase its believableness is merely to postpone the inevitable. So I'll pause there, and this again has always been very comforting to me. First sentence: God is not the author of fear; you are. So we're the ones that are making fear for ourselves. And the sentence too: you are not at peace because you are not fulfilling your function. God gave you a very lofty responsibility which you are not meeting. Our function is to come to know who we truly are. And, you know, whatever the specific circumstances are in our lives, as the Course says, the curriculum is highly individualized. That's going to vary from person to person. But our function is to learn to know who we are, to be willing to accept the atonement, the undoing for ourselves. It's never about, you know, fixing somebody else. It's always about our taking responsibility for healing our own minds. So.
Okay.
Craig, can you? Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say that I didn't understand the last two lines of that paragraph, but as you spoke, I reread it again. I do understand. Okay. What's incredible is this reality on this physical plane that we think we've created for ourselves. Okay.
Right.
Am I interpreting that correctly?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mhm.
Yep. Well, not. Yep. Yep. Definitely.
Can you say that again?
Sonia, you want me to say
that? Do you
want to
repeat that, Sonia? Would you be able to?
Yeah.
I was saying that I didn't understand the last two lines that Corinne read of that paragraph, but when I read it again, when you awaken, you will not be able to understand this because it is totally incredible. And I was like, totally, that what we've created, this dream world based in fear, this is what's totally incredible. But do not believe the incredible now, this false world. Any attempt to increase its believableness is merely to postpone the inevitable, which is our awakening.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Because I didn't get it either.
Yeah, I had to read it a couple times.
That was well said. All right, let's squeeze in. Let me just see.
One sentence is in terms of an easy way to think of the atonement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Angela, could you repeat that again about the atonement?
Can
I didn't hear the first one.
Can you explain an easy way to think of the atonement?
The atonement is, I've heard people say, if you break down the word, it's at one ment. I've heard that the atonement is the undoing of fear, undoing of this dream, you know, this illusion. The atonement is correction. So it's again, coming to perceive what we truly are and that we aren't at home here, that this is not what we are, and again, that this is the separate dream world that we're in. So atonement is healing, really.
Okay.
So it's, yeah.
And, you know, it's so funny because when that word comes up, there always seems to be a block right in front of it.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Can you explain what you mean by that? Can you
continue on that, huh?
Are you saying, Angela, that you feel just like, you know, whenever you've seen that word, you just don't get it? Is that what you mean by a block?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just like a block in front of it.
I gotcha.
Yeah. I think I have a similar experience because I always, like, am never quite getting what they mean by that. Even though I've read, like, the at one ment, and I hear things, and I just, I have a similar experience.
Yeah, and that's too, again, as we continue to study the Course, even still, you know, I'll go back and read something that I clearly read before because it's underlined all over the place, and yet I'm reading it again, and it's like, oh, that's what it means. Like, you know, you start, as you're ready and willing, start to those blocks start to fall away, and we start to get things on a deeper and deeper level.
And thank you, because that just makes a lot of sense. It's just, if you're not ready to take it in, there's no way. And the words, exactly what you're saying, you can't take the words in because you're just not there yet.
Right, right. That's right. So let's just read this one more paragraph, and then we'll stop there. The word inevitable is fearful to the ego, but joyous to the soul. God is inevitable, and you cannot avoid him any more than he can avoid you. The ego is afraid of the soul's joy because once you have experienced it, you will withdraw all protection from the ego and become totally without the investment in fear. Your investment is great now because fear is a witness to the separation, and your ego rejoices when you witness to it. Leave it behind. Do not listen to it and do not preserve it. Listen only to God, who is as incapable of deception as are the souls he created. Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Lovely. All right. Any comments or thoughts or insights before we wrap up?
I'm just kind of reading it over again about you withdraw all protection from the ego and become totally without the investment in fear. That sounds like a wonderful state.
Doesn't it? It sure does. I'm with you on that. And that's where we're going. That's what we're slowly learning, you know, as we work the course. And the course is all about giving us those experiences that show us that we don't need fear, that the ego is not who we are. And as we have those little experiences, our trust builds that it is actually a safe state. It's a state that we want to be in, just like you said. Wonderful.
And I kind of wonder what that would feel like. You know, there's the ego trying to figure it out. And as long as, you know, it's almost like, you know, trying to bring the ego to try to understand something. Forget about it. The ego is never going to understand it.
Right, right.
Yeah. But I think that's a trick the ego tries to play on you, because as you were talking, what occurred to me is that it's like, the ego is always with you, and it's reading the course as you're, you know, it's interpreting along with you. It's like, I feel like it just had this thought, like the ego is trying to read the course and understand it also, so it can explain it to you, so it can keep you, so you'll take the ego's interpretation of what the course is saying
right.
instead of the Holy Spirit's. So you really don't always have to keep going within, because I understand what that means. I'm going to explain
right.
it to you.
Right. That's perfect. That's so perfect, because that's to what we started out with earlier when there was the line about, you know, you can't actually heal the separation. I don't remember the exact words, but you can't heal that split mind by just intellectualizing this. And that's what our egos just want us to do, because then we're not going to actually heal, and we'll just, you know, talk the course but not actually walk it. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was great. Again,
so when the ego says, just basically, like, you know, I got this, and it's okay, Holy Spirit, I don't need you, I got this, you know, it's just being mindful of, you know, where, you know, what's going on, you know, and so I think a lot, I can't even get the words out tonight, but a lot of it is just trying to be open, and if I don't understand, just, I don't understand, it's okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Very well said.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Oh, everybody, thank you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Just
Gwen,
what
for being
I needed.
Yeah, this was great. Thank you for making me feel welcome.
Oh, yes. We're so happy you're here. All right, so we're at the top of our hour together, so let's we'll conclude now and meet up next week, same time.
Thank you.
Well,
good night, everybody.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.
Take care.
Good night.
Take care.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Deidre.